So let's bring you into high school, where you, and by the way, and in your high school years, you were listening to radio. Was radio important to you, even though you may not have committed, or where does that develop in your...
John, it starts way before that. I used to drive people in my neighborhood crazy, walking around doing the thing from Mr. District Attorney. Remember when Jay Johnson would start out, and it shall be my duty as district attorney. I walk around saying that, and I was 7, 8 years old, and people said, somebody kill him. And I had no idea about radio. It was something I listened to, and I listened to that, and I listened to I Love a Mystery. I was listening to all of them, and I had no idea. As far as I knew, I was going to be a lawyer, because that's all I'd heard from the day we started talking about anything I might want to be. Young man, don't worry about what you want to be. You're going to be a lawyer. So by the time that I actually happened to go into a radio station and saw how cool all that equipment looked, just sitting there waiting for somebody to do something every half hour, I was ready to be hooked, and the hook took deep.
Was that in high school?
That was when I was 10 years old, John.
Oh, yeah.
We had moved from one side of Stuttgart, which is not a very big town, but when you're, you know, a small person and that young, everything is big. We moved to the other side, and looking out my bedroom window, I could see the light at night flashing from the blocks, 2 blocks away radio station, KWAK, the Duck and Rice capital of the world. And I'd look out there, and every day I'd go, that's that radio station I listened to I Love a Mystery on. That's as far as it went. Well, came one day in July of 1950, I got on my bike, and I could have turned left instead of turned right, and went up to Berkeley Street a block away and started. I thought, I'm going to go in and ask them if I can see what a radio station looks like. And I did, and I went in, and it's an old rackety farmhouse. It's got the kind of window units that before you can turn the microphone on, you have to turn them off, or you'd never hear the voice of the announcer. And nobody was in there. I'm standing in this big room looking at this room full of equipment and hearing Al Helfer and Dizzy Dean do the game of the day. And my hero, Ted Williams, hit a couple of home runs. And that was air conditioned. At home, we did not have air conditioning, John. And it was so much fun to stand there in air conditioned comfort, hear my hero hit home runs, and watch some guy come in sweating from the backyard where he's mowing the grass every half hour, get the microphone just in time to get the station break in as they were starting the second part of the break. And that's how I fell in love with radio.
Wow. That's a great song.
I was an easy hook, John.
What songs were you listening to back then?
Okay, for this future crazy wild rock and roller, I was listening to things like June Christie, Something Cool, Stan Kenton's Artistry and Rhythm, Frank Sinatra's Wee Small Hours of the Morning. I had the most 85-year-old taste in the world for a 10-year-old, and even when I kept listening, all my collection was like that. I bought the Stan Kenton Presents Jazz series with a bunch of people that never made it any further, and I had little four-pocket 45 EPs collections of what would be a 12-inch album if they'd been putting those out then. So just like most of my life, my music and what I would end up becoming had no match whatsoever.
Well, then your first radio job in Stuttgart, I guess, was that in high school, or when did that come along?
Yeah, I started hanging out. Like I say, my dad died. He died about halfway through my freshman year in high school. And Mom, who was an excellent legal secretary, had been doing it for him and his senior law partner for free, thank you. So they put her on a salary, which was nice of them. But everybody in town knew, George left without a will, that poor family. And I think Mr. Spann gave me a little part-time job just to pick up a little pen money as a pity thing. My first job was going in after school every afternoon, opening the new mail that had come in from the record companies, deciding which category they went in, giving them a number, typing the card, and putting it in. And for that, I made 75 cents an hour and was allowed a maximum of 6 hours a week. When Dad died, they had just lost somebody, and they said, "Scooter, we don't think you're really ready for it, but we know you want to, so we're going to give you the chance." And so I went on, and for the next 3 or 4 years, I was going to school from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, biking feverishly the mile and a half down to the station, doing fours at 10:30 sign off. Saturdays I would do 1:30 to 10:30, and Sundays I'd do 2 to 10:30. We were a mutual affiliate, so we carried the Game of the Day, we carried Lucky Pierre, we carried Sky King Adventurer, we carried all the shows I listened to, you know, when I was falling in love with radio, but just not as many of them anymore. And I started out my day every afternoon with at 4 o'clock with 30 minutes of the Western Roundup Programme. That was 30 minutes of the gut bucket as hillbilly music, you could imagine. Each one led into, and this song is for Agnes Deitch from DeWitt, from Willie Jones of Wabaseka. Here's one from John the Scooter, saying, "Law, you're not made for radio." And I'd do 3 or 4 of those and play the song. Then after that, I would go to Doris Day and Percy Faith for half an hour. Then I would do half an hour of writing network news while putting together the half hour of live news that I would then do. And this is a kid, 14, who has never had radio experience, John, and wow, sounded about like I'm sounding now.
Yeah, but man, you were born to do this, that's for sure. Wow.
And then, I was born at a lucky time. If I'd been born 5 years earlier with my voice, I would have never gotten on. And 5 years later, with the way radio was becoming so nailed down and so inhuman by then, I probably would have not made the cut on anything. I just, Mama and Daddy timed it right. I didn't like them a lot of times, but I did like their timing on having me. And I did, by the way, love them, and I respect them, yeah, and I miss the hell out of them.